Good to know.
Looking the gift horse in the mouth.
Good morning. I will open the Joint Committee on Ways and Means for June 9th, 2017. We have a fairly reasonable agenda. The first item on the agenda is introduction of committee bills. Colleagues, the purpose of this bill is this bill will become the program change bill. It does not have much content at this time, but you can imagine it will have dozens of pages when it is completed. So, LC-4 has been distributed to all committee members. The chair will accept a motion to introduce the LC as a committee bill. That's a surprise. Yes.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move that LC-4535 be introduced as a House bill.
Okay, there is motion on the floor. Is there any discussion of the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Seeing no objection to the motion, motion carries. Close that work session. Open a work session. HB 5009, Department of Energy, Senator Frederick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5009 is the budget bill for the Oregon Department of Energy. The department's mission is to lead Oregon to a safe, clean, and sustainable energy future. The Natural Resources Subcommittee approved a total budget of $161.2 million, which includes a lottery funds debt service budget of $3 million, other funds budget of $36.3 million, a federal funds budget of $2.5 million, and other federal funds non-limited budgets of $119.3 million and $104,000. The budget includes 97 positions and 93.87 FTE. This budget is an 11.5% decrease from the 2015-17 legislatively approved budget and an increase of less than 1% from the 2017-19 current services level. The subcommittee approved decreasing other funds limitation to reduce expenditures supported by the energy supplier assessment and to eliminate long-term vacant positions. The subcommittee also approved increasing other funds limitation to make a fiscal and analyst position in the Energy Facility Siting Division permanent and to implement a customer relationship management system. Key performance measures and targets were approved, including the replacement of KPM number 6, which measured the alternative fuels used in fleets with the percentage of petroleum versus non-petroleum fuels used for transportation in Oregon. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5009 be amended by the -1 amendment and be reported out do pass as amended.
Discussion of the motion before the committee. Yes, Senator Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. First of all, I want to go on record that when the department had stopped by my office and we went over the budget, I had made some assumptions that I have found since then not to be true. And it brings me back to a little bit of history here that causes me great concern. And let me go through the history a little bit. In March of 2015, concerns were raised by the utilities throughout the state of the ESA rate increases that continued to be had. Senator Johnson and then Senator Chris Edwards and I began to convene some groups. We had written on April 18th and several times to the department, Director Kaplan, asking for response to the ESA questions. They were not forthcoming with them. In May of 2015, we convened a work group with the utilities. We worked with LFO, and on May 22nd, Julie Naburka of LFO drafted a response to us. And then on May 28th, we put a budget note. This committee, the full Ways and Means, put in a budget note, and it said the Oregon Department of Energy is instructed to limit the amount assessed under the energy supplier assessment to a total of $13.1 million for the 2015 and 2017 biennium, and is instructed to prepare in its 2017-19 agency budget request to reflect a total assessment from the energy supplier assessment not to exceed $13.1 million. That has not been done. The budget note was approved and put in by us, and this year That figure is not 13.1 million. The budget to the department presented their ESA budget number at 15.1 million for the 17-19 budget. In an email from Blake Johnson, Chief Operating Officer for ODAW, to Danielle Romaine, dated 14 of 2016, December, there will be an increase in the ESA assessment for the next biennium. This is a blatant disregard to the budget note we have put to their direction for the 17-19 biennium budget, and I will be a very definite no on this budget. We cannot allow, in my opinion, a department to completely ignore, refute, and move in the opposite direction of what the legislative body is asking to do. They paid no attention to it and, in fact, went the other direction. We cannot allow that. I'm a no vote. And on page 64 of their presentation, it clearly shows it's an increase. They did not follow our instructions.
Additional discussion. Yes, Senator Thompson.
I'd like to ditto the comments, Senator Hansel. This is pretty disturbing, and you know, there's a lot of distrust of this agency also, and when they do things like this, it just adds to that distrust, and I'll be a no.
Additional discussion. Yes.
Thank you, Senator Mr. Chair. At some point, I don't expect it today, but I'd like a little report on the Betsy credits. How many are still outstanding? Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Holder.
Thank you, Ms. Co-Chair. Appreciate the conversation. You know, reflecting back on the Betsy certainly is a tough issue for the department. In January 2016, the presiding officers appointed a joint oversight committee that was co-chaired by myself and Senator Beyer to look at this agency and make recommendations. Which we made co-chair recommendations based on that assignment. I found the department to be actually very forthcoming in this last year and actually doing a good job of going through the department with its issues, with its problems, and actually have quite a different opinion of the department's efforts and what they're doing. I think that a lot of their problems with the Betsy, and which drove the a lot of the ESA issues, were not, certainly admittedly, by the department, some real problems with implementation of those programs. But at the same time, the legislature didn't appear to have adequate sideboards, adequate caps in place, and really a mission of what the desired outcome of these programs would be and what they should measure them by. They also suffered from using Excel spreadsheets without the proper amount of IT, like many of our other agencies, to really track the data and information that they needed. And, you know, quite frankly, there was a lot of jobs created through the Betsy. We've got a lot of wind resources that admittedly might serve another state, but it created a lot of jobs, and there was a lot of direction from the executive branch governors in the past on those things to make those loans. We did not have adequate underwriting or risk analysis in the department to manage that. They were just told to make these programs work. And so certainly implementation was a problem. I think the department admits that, but we certainly don't have the adequate instructions to the department how to make these things work. So I think I actually think the department's doing a good job of trying to clean up their implementation, their agency itself. I'll note that they've had something like over a 20% reduction in their budget in the 15-17 budget, and again they're coming back with another 11% reduction. I would challenge to find another agency that's making those dramatic decreases. So we've made a lot of work. There was a lot of recommendations. There's a bill in Ways and Means, House Bill 3166, that advocated moving the CELT program to Business Oregon. That seemed to be cost prohibitive, I understand, for Business Oregon to do that. We made a recommendation that the floor be raised from $250 to $2,500, I believe, on the ESA to help give some relief to the smaller ESA payers. So I think there's plenty of blame to go around for what's happened with the Betsy specifically and some of the problems with, at the Department of Energy. I really feel like they are poised to really do a much better job in the future. I also believe that they need to modernize their mission somewhat and connect the dots between renewable portfolio standards, reducing greenhouse gas emissions to be able to anchor the success of our programs going forward. Because, you know, I would say that they don't really have clear direction from the legislature on a lot of these issues. And so the complaints of the ESA, you know, I see them going up. We put limitations on their ESA, and I think it sometimes will snowball a little bit in the demands, or maybe a lot. I really think we need to take a new look at new revenue sources for the Department of Energy as well. Instead of relying totally on the ESA, I think there are potential for new revenue sources with the Department of Energy going into the future. So I'm going to be a strong yes on this bill. I think this agency is poised to straighten things out. There's there are a lot of popular programs in that agency, and you know they're you know in the governor's budget, and I believe in this budget as well. They're getting rid of most of the incentive programs, which is not really a popular thing to do in terms of the RETC, you know. But it is a cost to us. But I think we need better sideboards on incentive programs, not just in this agency, but in many of our agencies. So I think I've said enough. I will be a strong yes. Thank you.
Anything additional? Senator Johnson.
You have a strong no, a strong yes. I'm a courtesy yes.
Okay. Okay. Anything else? Mr. Rocco, seeing no one else, will you call the roll?
Representative Wisnant?
No.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
No.
Representative Williamson?
Aye.
Representative Gomberg?
Aye.
Representative Smith-Warner?
Aye.
Representative Stark?
No.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Rayfield?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Smith?
No.
Co-Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Girard?
No.
Senator Thompson?
Nope.
Senator Snyder-Hayward?
Aye.
Senator Hansel?
No.
Senator Roebling?
Aye.
Senator Frederick?
Yes.
Senator Manning?
Aye.
Senator DeVore?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Winters?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Johnson?
Yes.
Co-Chair Dublin?
Aye.
Motion carries. I'll close that work session. Go on to the next work session. Department of Fish and Wildlife, Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5010 is the budget bill for Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. The department is charged with managing, protecting, and enhancing state fish and wildlife and their habitats to provide the optimum economic, commercial, recreational, and aesthetic benefits. The budget for the department totals $354.2 million. The budget includes $28.1 million general fund, $5.4 million Measure 76 lottery funds, and $184.5 million other funds, $136.2 million federal funds, and 1,368 positions, 1,147 FTE. The total fund budget is 1.4% lower, and the total number of positions is 7.2% lower than the 2015-17 legislative approved budget level, with general fund support 10% lower than in 2015-2017. General fund reductions include eliminating the remainder of the Western Oregon Stream Restoration Program, eliminating three fish monitoring positions, and eliminating a final, a general fund payment to the Columbia River Fisheries Transition Fund. The transition fund has never been assessed since its creation in 2013-15 biennium. The total number of positions is 7.2% lower than the 2015-17, due largely to the elimination of 82 vacant positions. Federal fund expenditure limitation is 4.6 lower than 2015-17 to better align the budget with the more realistic expectations of federal expenditure levels. The Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5010 be amended by the -1 amendment and be reported on the House.
Just leave it. It's more interesting.
As amended.
Sorry. My phone was malfunctioning.
Discussion of the motion on the table and the interruption. Representative McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be a no on the budget without us passing budgets to curb the demand on general fund in areas like we need to. We're continuing to deprive natural resource-based agencies of the general fund they deserve. I think this the reliance on fees of our hunters and fishermen and women is too high. Should deserve more general fund in the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and for that matter, and for those reasons, I'll be a no.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, 2 years ago, our good co-chair approved a few bucks for a program that's called the Trophy Trout Program for Oregon. And ODF&W did an adequate job of getting the fish in the four lakes, but it never got promoted. I'd ask each of you, do you know where the four lakes are? Anyone put a hand up? So we went and put these trout in a lake and then never told Oregonians. And part of the direction that the good co-chair gave to myself as we were developing this program, and by the way, let me share with you, Representative Holvey, one of the lakes is in your district. Representative Witt has one. Senator Hansel has one in Heppner. And there's one in off of Baker City. And one of the things we asked ODF&W was just put an ad in your fishing regulations, run a big ad, and announce this trophy trout program. And on multiple occasions, our office called them to, in a very proactive, kind way, just to encourage them to do this. Never once did they do it. So we went and put all these fish in the lake. With the hopes of promoting tourism and recreation in some of our small little communities that could benefit from an injection of opportunity. And the department, in my view, dropped the ball. And so those are the type of challenges we have in government where we just don't carry it out. We don't carry through with what we're supposed to do. And that bothers me, Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairman, and I want to thank the carrier and the subcommittee for their careful and thoughtful deliberation of this budget. My comments are about Fish and Wildlife and also about the Department of Agriculture, so I could save some time and not repeat them later. And my concern is this. My concern is focused on our agreements to work with an organization called Wildlife Services in both of these budgets. And I appreciate the budget note where the subcommittee has determined that when we work with Wildlife Services, they should not be allowed to be able to use these cyanide booby traps that have been in the news so much lately. These booby traps that are designed to take predators, but often take untargeted animals, sometimes taking protected animals, sometimes taking neighborhood pets, and in fact, on at least one occasion, have poisoned some of our neighborhood children. And the budget note says we can't use these anymore, which I think is a good thing. But at the end of the day, the budget also says that we're going to continue to work with an organization that applies tactics that many, if not most, Oregonians find abhorrent, as long as they stop using the very worst of these tactics. And on the record, Mr. Co-Chair, if they don't use the cyanide booby traps, then they step back to some of their other preferred tactics, which include wire snares and leg hold traps, which means that instead of poisoning animals, that we're either going to slowly strangle them to death or let them slowly starve to death if they don't first gnaw off their own foot to escape. That's problematic for me. That's problematic for me, and the record indicates that Wildlife Services last year took 88,000 Oregon animals, targeted animals, and their record also indicates that they report the unwanted taking, the non-targeted taking of 22 animals. 88,022. That's a number that just strains credibility. But the additional evidence suggests that very often that their traps and snares are taking as many untargeted as targeted animals, and that the organization has adopted a practice of essentially to shoot, shovel, and shut up. That we're not going to report the unwanted taking of so many animals in so many difficult ways. Now, clearly, we've got a problem with predators in Oregon, and I'm going to surprise some of you when I say that to address that, I think we can do a better job if we rely on our own Oregon hunters. I think if we rely on our own Oregon hunters, that we will make fewer mistakes, that we'll have better tools to address those mistakes when they occur, and oh, by the way, we'll save close to $1 million, close to $1 million of a no-bid contract that we are currently letting out right now to apply the practices that I've just described. Mr. Co-Chair, I'm not going to work today to keep this budget from going to the floor, but I do hope that as it moves through the legislature, that the governor, who originally did not recommend funding of Wildlife Services, that budget was put back in by the subcommittee with the budget note. I hope the governor will consider the application of a line item veto and find a better way to address the issue of predators in Oregon than what's going on with Wildlife Services. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Representative. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to acknowledge the fact that making the reductions in natural resources with general fund, where there isn't a lot of general fund, is a very difficult position to be in as a natural resources sub-chair. And I would agree with good Representative McLean that natural resources, a lot of these agencies are, you know, underfunded from in terms of respect to general fund. So with that said, I think we're making very difficult decisions given the overall structure within our budget, but it's very challenging to see programs like the Western Oregon Stream Program and other areas in here where we're making cuts where we've worked so hard in the past biennials to keep these things afloat. So just wanted to voice my displeasure with the position that we're in today, and hopefully we'll be able to restore some of these in the future.
Yeah, so Senator Hanselman.
I was just wondering if the good representative from Heppner might let us know offline where those lakes are, the names, in case we want to make a personal visit to.
Senator, you come to Heppner, to Willow Creek Reservoir, and we'll get you all set up. By the way, he's there regularly. So come on.
Okay, seeing nothing additional, objections to the motion before the committee? Seeing Representative McLean, Representative Wisnant, Representative Smith, Representative Stark, motion carries. Close our work session, open a work session. Parks and Recreation Department, Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5028 is the budget bill for the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. The budget for the department totals $216,427,927, all funds. This is a 4% increase from the legislative approved budget for the 2015-17 biennium. The budget contains no general fund. The budget contains no general fund. The department is supported by constitutionally dedicated 7.5% of lottery funds, park user fees, and federal funds, primarily supporting historic preservation and recreational trails. The budget recognized revenue estimates for anticipated fee increases and adjustments, transfers, and lottery funds as projected in the May 2017 forecast. Budgetary adjustments are included for state and federal grant expenditures, operational expenditure capacity, adequate staffing capacity, and park maintenance. Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5028 be amended by the -1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Okay. discussion of the motion before the committee, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, I want you to know quite often, as I'm looking at a budget, one of the review criteria I have is, how are they doing in the community? Or how are they doing in the region? And I can share with you from personal experience, Oregon Parks and Recreation is doing an A-plus job. Just phenomenal work out in Eastern Oregon, working with local communities, working with the region, working on some really challenging economic development opportunities in Umatilla and Morrow County with the Confederated Tribes of Umatilla. And so, Madam Director, A-plus job to your staff. They do a great job. I have to share this very, very quickly. There's a little town called Spray, and it's in Wheeler County, the smallest county in the state of Oregon. And they had some questions on how to do a small little bathroom facility. And they were contacted and asked to come out to Spray. No hesitation. No hesitation at all. They jumped in their car and out they went. And I don't know how many miles they had to drive, but they were there, and they did a great job in their presentation of opportunities from the Parks and Recreation Department. So, again, well done.
Representative Wisdom.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Honorable committee members, I'd like to praise this department for their work in protecting Oregon's scenic waterways. I'm disappointed in a bill that unanimously indicated the House supported that same policy, that the Senate failed to act upon supporting Oregon Park and Rec's tremendous work in protecting scenic waterways.
Additional discussion? Objections to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Close out work session, open work session. HB 5029, Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision, Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5029 is the budget bill for the Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision. This board is responsible for protecting the public and reducing the risk of repeated criminal behavior through its supervision decisions. The recommended budget of $9,209,630 general fund and $11,254 other funds for a total budget of $9,220,884 is sufficient to cover the current operation of the board, including continuation of three limited duration positions. These positions are needed to continue to work on reducing the backlog in assessment of registered sex offenders. A budget note directs the board to identify ways to reduce the backlog and cost of these assessments and report back to the legislature prior to the 2018 session. The board's key performance measures were approved as recommended. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5029 be amended by the dash one and be reported out. Please do pass.
Discussion of the motion before the committee. Any objection to the motion before the committee? Representative Smith, Representative Wisman, Representative McLean, Representative Huffman. Motion carries. Close out work session, open a work session. Department of Agriculture, Senator Frederick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5502 is the budget bill for the Oregon Department of Agriculture. The Department of Agriculture ensures food safety, protects agricultural resources, and promotes economic development in the agricultural industry. The budget for the department totals $118.2 million. The budget includes $23.3 million in general fund, $8.3 million in lottery funds, $68.7 million in other funds, $17.8 million in federal funds, and 371 full-time equivalent positions. The general fund budget is 5% lower than the 2015-17 approved levels, due in large part to fund shifts that move program costs from general fund on to other funds, supported by license and fee revenues due to the general fund constraints. The budget also made a one-time addition of $1.3 million in constitutionally dedicated lottery funds to combat the invasive pests, the Japanese beetle and the apple moth. Food safety and weights and measures inspector positions were added to keep up with the growing inspection workloads. $1.4 million in federal funds expenditure limitation was added to help Oregon's produce farmers comply with the Federal Food Safety Modernization Act. The budget also eliminates 48 vacant positions. There is a budget note directing the department to assure that no state money will be used by federal wildlife services to deploy cyanide traps for predator control. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5502 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Committee Representative McClain.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the work by our subcommittee. I'm going to be a no on this because it does not contain enough general fund. It's disappointing that once again our natural resource agencies are deprived of what they need in exchange for demands. Other areas that seem to have a dispute as to the discipline that our body continues to show in that regard. Because I want to see more general fund in the Department of Agriculture, I'm going to be a no on this budget.
Additional discussion? Yes, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm going to be echoing the comments of Republican Leader McClain. I do want to share with folks, though, that ODA has been extraordinarily helpful and professional in working with many folks in the dairy industry, in the potato industry, in the onion industry. And Phil, my staff member, sent an email down here and said, you make sure you let everyone know they're doing A-plus work in Eastern Oregon. And so my no vote today is in no way a reflection on the good work they're doing. It's a reflection on the fact that their budget's general fund budget is being reduced 5.3%. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes, Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Co-Chair. A question to the carrier?
I hope I can answer.
Thank you very much. Mike, you indicated that that under the budget note, Wildlife Services cannot use state money to deploy these cyanide bombs. Can they use other funds in Oregon to continue using those devices?
The approach that we've taken was that there was state money that was going to Wildlife Services. We tried to take that away. The other funds was not included in that discussion. As I don't know if we have any folks from agriculture here on that. I don't know if there's other. The only other funds that I know that were going towards that were federal funds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I thank the committee for its careful deliberation of these budgets, and I do have concerns about Wildlife Services, and I hope they can be addressed down the road.
Additional? Yes, Senator Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, I just want you to know that this budget started with the governor's budget and DAS, and I want to personally thank the co-chairs for all the add-backs that we got, and I'll be happy to support the budget.
Additional discussion. Objections to the motion before the committee. Representative McClain, Representative Wisdom, Representative Smith, Representative Stark. Motion carries. Close out work session, open a work session, SB 5503, Department of Agriculture, fee bill. Senator Frederick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5503 ratifies fee modifications implemented through rulemaking during the 2015-17 interim. Fees were modified for nurseries, commercial egg-laying farms, and industrial hemp. The revenue from these fees is assumed in the budget for the Department of Agriculture. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5503 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Discussion of the motion before the committee, Representative McClain.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be a no on this because these fees are not necessary. Had this body funded the Department of Agriculture with the general fund it deserved. Thank you.
Additional? Okay. Seeing no one, yes, Representative Hansel, or Senator Hansel.
I'd just like to go on the record also express my appreciation for the co-chairs, particularly on the Senate side, who have been very open and responsive to the needs of those of us who represent large portions of agriculture in rural Oregon. I appreciate his work. Thank you.
Seeing no additional discussion, objections to the motion. Representative McClain, Representative Smith, Representative Stark. Seeing no others, motion carries.
I did get Wisnet.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, thank you, sir. Okay.
Close out work session, open a work session, Department of Land Conservation Development, Senator Frederick.
Oh, yes. One more time.
I've had days like this in fall, really.
Senate Bill 5527 is the budget bill for
town crier.
I've done that, too. Senate Bill 5527 is a budget bill for the Department of Land Conservation and Development. The budget includes $13,347,618 in general fund, $1,645,542 in other funds, and $6,530,660 in federal funds, for a total funds budget of $21,523,820. This represents a 3.9% increase from the 2015-17 legislatively approved budget. The budget includes reductions in general fund expenditures from the current service level resulting from an increase in vacancy savings, reductions in unspecified services and supplies, and a reduction in funding for temporary employees. General fund for local planning grants is continued at the current service level. The budget also provides expenditure limitation adjustments for anticipated federal grant revenues from the Federal Emergency Management Agency and pass through federal grant funding from the Oregon Office of Emergency Management for pre-disaster planning. Two long-term vacant positions are eliminated. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends 5527 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Okay, discussion. Representative Wisnant, then Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Committee members, I'd just like to point out that their key performance measure, number one, percentage of cities that have an adequate supply of land for industrial and other employment needs to implement their local economic development plan, 28%, target 75. That's why I'll bend over, Mr. Co-Chair.
Let's see, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The senator mentioned the community planning grants. Are those inclusive of the Gorge counties because of the scenic area? Does anybody know? Some funds I have been asking for, they had been taken out of the governor's budget.
We actually have the analyst for the Gorge Commission right here. So,
Mr. Chair, Representative Huffman, there are no special monies provided specifically for the Gorge counties, as there have been several times in past biennium in the budget. But I think they are eligible for the other normal grant money that the department has.
Thank you, Mr. Rocker. Mr. Co-Chair, I would like to point out that because of the unique situation that is placed on the Oregon Gorge counties, those planning grants are critical, and we really need those in somebody's budget to find their way to Multnomah, Hood River, and Wasco counties to help the planning because of the scenic area, and that's the only reason we ask. Aside from that, I do want to commend the director and his staff for putting up with me and helping me in many, many projects. They've been outstanding, so thank you.
Any additional discussion? Any objection to the motions before the committee? Representative McLean, Representative Wisdom, Representative Stark?
I saw the room. I was on roll
call. Any objections to the motion?
I was out of the room.
Oh. Motion carries. You can still vote. Okay. Close on work session, open on work session. Military Department, Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5532 is the budget bill for one of the departments that we all support, the Oregon Military Department. The department administers the Oregon Army National Guard, the Army Air National Guard, and the Office of Emergency Management. Its Community Service Division operates the Youth Challenge Program for young people at risk for dropping out of school and provides other youth educational opportunities at Oregon's two air bases. One of those bases is in Portland, and the other one is located in Klamath. The Public Safety Subcommittee approves an all-funds budget of just over $400 million. The military department is primarily funded with $272.9 million from the federal government and with $25.5 million general fund, $201.6 million other funds, 475 positions, and 424.82 FTE. The subcommittee approved the agency's key performance measures as presented. And colleagues, I might add that there is the enhancement in this budget that would actually expand the Oregon Youth Challenge Program. And this was something that has been worked on. I think we began a few sessions back in order to get the capital construction dollars for that expansion. And there's operational funds in this budget. And this expansion would allow us to have more young people from around the state to be participants in the Youth Challenge, as well expanding the number of females that would go into the Youth Challenge. And I urge the passage of this budget.
Discussion. Representative Huffman, Representative McLean, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I want to thank Deputy Director Stuckey and Emergency Management Director Phelps for extensive help with me in my district on numerous occasions.
Representative McLean.
Mr. Chair, I have to declare a conflict of interest. I'm a member of the Oregon Air National Guard and receive compensation for that service. That may surprise you. And,
I'm certain it's better per hour than Ms. here.
And as such, I'm required to declare a financial conflict of interest.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I as well need to declare a potential conflict of interest. I serve as the executive director for Columbia Development Authority, which is out at the Umatilla Army Depot, and the Oregon National Guard is our neighbor there. And I've had opportunities over the last year to have conversations and negotiations with the National Guard. So I want to get that noted. Now, colleagues, I also want to share with you this is a branch of our government that I've had a chance to really spend some time with over the last year and a half, and you could not ask for more professional folks than the Oregon National Guard. Dave, you've done an A-plus job. Your staff has done an A-plus job in working with Umatilla and Morrow County, the Confederated Tribes of Umatilla, the Port of Morrow, Port of Umatilla, in trying to be good neighbors. I don't know if you folks know, but 19,000 acres is about to transfer from the United States Army to the National Guard Bureau, down to the Oregon National Guard, and to the local community to transfer what was once an eyesore into a training ground for the Guard and economic development opportunities for Eastern Oregon. And Dave's been part of that process. And here's what I really want to brag about. It has taken 25 years of conversation, and in the last 18 months, more has occurred than over those previous 25 years, and Dave's a key part in making that happen and getting that transferred. And so, Dave, A-plus to you, to the Guard, and for everything you've done. He's been great for Oregon.
Any additional discussion? Yes, Senator Manning.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. For the carrier, thank you for bringing this bill forward. This bill is really important on a number of ways. The current configuration of border war now really puts a strain on the National Guard units. We currently have in Oregon, I believe it's the 1182nd Military Police Company, which is about 170 citizen soldiers that are being deployed to Afghanistan in support of Operation Iraq Enduring Freedom. When they come back, I hope that we will look forward to making sure that they have transitional resources. There is a step-up, step-down process as far as mobilization and deployment that I don't know if this money is going to contribute to that or be a part of that, but certainly we need to make sure that the resources are available. The other part that I would like to commend is the Youth Challenge Camp. I have been there, and I have mentored a young man that went through that process. It is a good organization, it is a good structure, and certainly I am fully supportive of continued funding of that and expansion if necessary. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and I really appreciate all of the comments with respect to the military, the Oregon Military Department. Having worked with this budget for several sessions, and I too would like to thank Dave when he came on board, and some of you know, I have wanted to expand the Oregon Youth Challenge for years. You know, their success rate is we don't read about them at the 47th or 48th level when we look at the work that's being done by the Oregon Youth Challenge and working with young people who are at risk. And I've said before in this, if I had my way, I'd have the Youth Challenge scattered all over the state. I'm very pleased that Dave has worked with me in this committee in order, one, to expand the program so that we can have more youth available. And they are, if you weren't here for Military Day, you should have been because it was really a wonderful sight. So with that, Mr. Chair, Mr. Coker.
Any additional discussion? Any yes. objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. I will go on to the Department of Human Services and Oregon Health Authority. Rebalance, Senator Winters.
Whoops, Senator Winters.
Thank you, Co-Chair Devlin. Senate Bill 5543 implements 2015-17 budget rebalance for both the Department of Human Services and the Oregon Health Authority. The rebalance plan addresses changes between the fall 2016 and spring 2017 caseload forecasts, cost increases, and savings, revenue changes, and technical adjustments needed to balance each agency's budget. This action results in net general fund savings for each agency. Between the two agencies, the bill disappropriates $63.0 million general fund. In DHS, general fund caseload related cost increases in some child welfare, senior and intellectual and developmental disabilities program are offset by savings in other caseloads, reduced spending, or non-general fund revenue. Particularly, self-sufficiency caseloads have continued to decrease since the fall of 2016 forecast. The overall changes for DHS is a decrease of $51.4 million general fund and an increase of $0.5 million other funds and an increase of $1.5 million federal funds. No position changes are needed. The bill reduces general fund and OHA by $11.6 million general fund, which is freed up due to lower health plan caseloads, other funds revenue above forecast, and a mixture of increases and decrease in program costs. The plan would increase other funds expenditure limitation by $16.8 million and decrease federal funds by $941.4 million. Technical adjustments net to zero agency-wide. There are no changes to positions or FTE. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5543 be amended by the one, and I ask for your support.
Discussion of motion before the committee. Representative Wisner.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Where does this go in the state checkbook? Does this go in the ending balance? For 15-17.
Please let the record show that Mr. Rocco said yes.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Chair, Representative Wisner, yes, the money will be disappropriated from the agencies and it will end up on the ending balance.
Thank you. Follow up real quick, yeah. Mr. Coacher. Thank you. So if we had that, the caseload went down, but so did they have some positions we looked at, or we're looking at the positions in the next budget just to be sure that the caseload's being looked at more, managed better?
Yes. Representative Wilson, you will see both of those budgets relatively soon, both the OHA and DHS budgets.
Thank you, Mr. Kutcher.
Mr. Kutcher, yeah. I might add that the rebalance is one that is done on a continual basis with these two agencies.
Any additional discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing no objection, motion carries. I'll go on to SB 360 relating to prisoner reentry. Senator Frederick.
Hear ye, hear ye. Senate Bill 360 directs each county to establish a community service exchange program for individuals to perform community service in lieu of payment of delinquent fees for debts or fees for supervision. This does not include fees and fines for restitution or associated with the crimes committed. These are often court fees and can be tens of thousands of dollars expected within months after release from incarceration. Currently, offenders on parole or prison supervision are required to pay a fixed fee to counties that is intended to cover the cost of supervision, but those fees can be reduced or modified by the county. The measure is anticipated to have an indeterminate impact to counties and their community corrections programs. Both revenue and expenditures for each county exchange program will depend on the number of offenders that are eligible and the length of time they participate in the program. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 360 be reported out and do pass.
Discussion of the motion before the committee. Yes, Senator Manning.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I agree. This is a great bill, and perhaps since I saw no one else that was saying anything, I should end my conversation now and step through. I support it.
Any additional discussion? Yes, Senator Johnson.
Question of the carrier. Was there conversation in committee about the cost to the counties, the difficulties for some counties that are impecunious, struggling to just provide basic services, to now take on another program that may reduce their fees, if I understood your carry correctly?
The counties help to coordinate whether this program will work or not. They get to do this. It's not something that we are imposing upon them. It's saying this is, you can now use this as a way to pay to have recently released folks pay off their fees, those fees in whatever way they can. So it's not a required situation. It is something that is basically allowing them.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional discussion? Objections to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Close out work session. Open a work session, SB 896, relating to criminal appeals. Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 896 amends and repeals several statutes that are related to appeals of criminal cases and attempts to clarify which trial court decisions can be appealed by both the defendant and the state. The measure is anticipated to have an indeterminate impact on the department to the Department of Justice Appellate Division's Defense of Criminal Convictions Program. Holy mackerel, that's a mouthful. The measure provides more opportunity to appeal misdemeanor cases. However, the potential increase is unknown. If the number of appeals increases beyond the department's current capacity, DOJ may need to return to the legislature for additional resources or limitation. While there is likely to be a modest increase in appealed misdemeanor cases, the Judicial Department and Public Defense Services Commission anticipate an offsetting reduction in workload related to the measure's clarification of statutes regarding what court decisions can and cannot be appealed. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 896 be reported out due pass. And the carrier would like to thank the committee for assigning this to her when she was out of the room and didn't hear the bill.
Discussion of the motion before the committee. Wondering why we got this measure, so am I.
Zero.
Any objections to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Open a work session on HB 2402 relating to individuals who are homeless. Representative Rayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2402 appropriates $50,000 general fund to the Oregon Health Authority for the 2017-19 biennium for deposit into the birth certificates and homeless persons fund, which the bill establishes. Monies into the funds are continuously appropriated to the Oregon Health Authority to provide grants to the state, regional, and local agencies to help individuals who are homeless pay for an official copy of their birth certificate. Individuals who are homeless often need this record to obtain an identification card in order to receive a job or fill out prescription medicine. The bill requires OHA to establish a grant program to help individuals who are homeless cover the full or partial cost of obtaining the record of live birth. The bill directs OHA to distribute the grant funds to state, regional, and local agencies. The bill authorizes OHA to develop the criteria and the process for these agencies to apply for grants. It also has the authority to require grant recipients to report to the OHA on their use of grant funding. OHA must begin issuing grants by July 1st, 2018. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends 2402 and be reported out due pass.
Yes, Senator Johnson.
Well, this is a de minimis amount of money, and I'm a little bit concerned about how it will get spread out. I just want to share with the committee that a not-for-profit formed in my district that I've personally supported called River Folk that is doing exactly this kind of work. They're not only getting birth certificates, but they're also getting driver's licenses and other foundational documents that allow people to access services and jobs. and with a very small amount of money, the last time I checked with them, that they had gotten in the hands of folks about 50 birth certificates, and it is for about $5,000. It is transformational for the folks that they're helping, but my concern is that without a hands-on navigator to actually go to the DMV office and walk through it, I think this is a great idea, great bill. I'm just wondering how $15,000 spread out over the whole state is going to make much of a difference. That's
my question.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. When I was at a food bank in my community, along with Representative Lively, a year or more ago, it was one of the food bank representatives who talked to us about this need. And at that food bank, they do provide services, you might say some wraparound services. And they identified this need, that if people could have a copy of their birth certificate and have access then to apply for other assistance.
It's huge.
And it was going to be a terrific help. And the message that I got from that visit was that at least at this one food bank where they identified persons with this need, they would be the ones offering that help and shepherding them through some processes.
I would just suggest that maybe the agency take a look at what River Folk right. in Astoria has done to see lessons learned. It might be instructive for others that are trying to do this work, but this is a great assistance to people who are trying to fight their way out of poverty by getting these foundational documents.
Any additional discussion, Representative Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm really hoping I misheard Senator Johnson when she said 15,000. I see 50 on here. How much of that 50 is going to go out, and how much is going to be used for administration?
I misheard the carrier.
Okay. I'm just curious. How much is going to be used for administration? How much will actually go to assist?
It costs $7.
Co-chairs, Representative Smith, members of the committee, Kimto LFO, the entire $50,000 is intended to go to grants to these nonprofits who would use it to pay for the birth certificates. And OAJ would take care of would absorb the administrative costs.
Wonderful. Yes, Senator Johnson.
So, Ms. Toe, how will this work? Because I can see not-for-profits lining up even as we're speaking, if they're listening to us. Is it first come, first serve? Is there a cap on how much a not-for-profit can get?
Senator Johnson, the bill does not specify any of that, and OAJ will be handling the grant.
We just hope that there not be a lot of process involved with this, and we'll eat up 50 grand in a hurry.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Steiner-Haywood then.
Oh, okay. Just for some clarification, when we heard testimony on this bill in the subcommittee, I believe I understood, somebody better correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Toe, that OHA would actually hold the money and that any nonprofit could use it, could apply, and then the fee would just be subtracted. So there wouldn't actually be a lot of administration involved. So the money would just sit there in a bucket so that instead of having to pay the fee for the nonprofits, even the nonprofits having to pay the fee for the person who gets in their birth certificate, they help the person put in the application. The fee comes out of that pot of money. So that all that has to happen in terms of distribution is just notification to nonprofits that money is available to pay the costs of the birth certificate fee for people who are homeless. And that would decrease the administration costs and spread it out a little bit more without disadvantaging smaller agencies that, you know, may not have the staff to put in for a request. They can just keep putting in the applications. My understanding.
Representative Wisnant, then Senator Ryan.
I'll be brief, Mr. Co-Chair. Thank you. I strongly support the objective. I think it's in the wrong agency.
Senator Robon.
Actually, it's in the agency that charges the fee. Therefore, it gets taken care of when they don't have to do it. So a lot of elementary schools are doing this work now because a parent comes in, a poor family, and they want to register their child, and the
child, the parents don't have a birth certificate or anything, and they say, we need a birth certificate, and so here's the form to fill out, and they send it off and try to take care of it, because there's a lot of groups trying to make sure that this information is available, not only for the child in that particular case, but also for the parent. And I appreciate that the funds are there, because that was always a problem for elementary schools, including in this whole thing of finding ways to pay for it.
It isn't, I mean, this is because now we have a vendor system. There's a vendor in place now that it used to be that we just contact vital statistics and that was the end of it. That's not how the system works anymore. Vendors are the one that actually does the work on the birth certificate. So that's why the pot of money sits so that, you know, you can access and get it to the vendor.
Any additional discussion? Any objections to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. We'll go to our final item, federal grant application, Department of Agriculture, Senator Girod.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. On June 5th, the Natural Resource Subcommittee recommended approval of the submission of a federal grant application for the Oregon Department of Agriculture to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in the amount of $149,000 for marketing of dairy products. The federal state marketing improvement program grant funds will be used to support a regional initiative that supports the Oregon dairy industry's export efforts. ODA will work collaboratively with the Oregon Dairy Products Commission to expand the program to the states of Washington, Idaho, Utah, and Arizona. The U.S. Dairy Export Council will contribute $258,000 in cash and in-kind support to assist the providing training, marketing access, and connections to available assistance and resources. The Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends approval.
Discussion of the motion before the committee. Yes, Senator.
On behalf of all of the cows shared by Representative Gomberg and I, we thank you.
Okay. Before I go to the actual vote, I did want to state for the record something fairly straightforward. You may notice in some of these that Senator Girod and Senator Frederick are doing a lot of the carries. That's because the Natural Resources Subcommittee, which has 8 members, 5 House and then 3 Senate, only has 2 members of the full. So they have to carry everything that comes from that subcommittee. And then was there an additional comment on before Senator Hansel, was there an additional comment before I go to the vote?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman. I'll do one.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for your comments about the subcommittee. I just appreciate them moving this bill forward.
It's really irresponsible. Representative Smith.
Before we move on, does anyone know who's the real dairy capital of Oregon?
I do.
Does anyone know who has the most dairy cows in the state of Oregon? I bet Senator Hansel.
Before we get in a debate here, I didn't do the objections. Any objections to the motion? There is an announcement. Motion carries, but we will have our full next Friday, but there is a potential of a special full before Friday, and we'll try to make sure people know well in advance of that. We're adjourned.
We got to figure that out.